I just want to thank everybody for this opportunity to be here today to share God's Word with you. I am just so blessed and so privileged to be a part of this church and just to share in just the wonders that God is doing here and in our lives, and I know in your lives as well. So thank you. I thought I would start my talk off today with a children's story. I know we have some young ones here today. This story is called Why Are You Hiding? By Peter Stone. Ginger the cat padded soundlessly through the backyard's grassy lawn. It was dusk, her favorite time of the day. This darkness was not a problem for Ginger, for being a cat, she could see quite well. Sniffing the air, she placed her right paw on a leaf, but quickly jerked it back when the leaf buzzed. Now, everyone knows that leaves do not buzz, so this was a mystery that Ginger simply had to investigate. Crouching down, she pointed her ear at the leaf, and with her night vision was able to see a small brown head poking out. It was a beetle. "What are you doing under this leaf, little beetle? I thought beetles came out at dusk and flew around." "I'm hiding," answered the little brown beetle. "Well, really? Why are you hiding?"
I'm hiding because I'm embarrassed."
Ginger rested her furry chin on her paws. "Well, why are you embarrassed, little beetle?"
"Well, it's because my bottom's glowing."
"Oh," exclaimed Ginger, trying so very hard not to laugh. "You've just hatched, have you?"
Yeah, just a little while ago," answered the beetle.
"Well, I've got some good news for you," began Ginger. "You don't need to worry. You see, you are a firefly. You're supposed to glow."
"But I don't want to be teased by the other bugs. Look what they're doing to my brother up there," protested the little beetle.
Ginger looked up and she saw another firefly flitting through the air, glowing with a gentle light. Turning her ears in that direction, she could hear the mosquitoes, flies, and some black beetles taunting him. They were saying things like, "Hey, Glowbottom, come and shed some light on me." "Hey, don't look now, but your bottom's on fire." "Look, everyone, it's Bug Lightning to the rescue." Ginger looked back at the firefly hiding under the leaf. "You know, little firefly, you have nothing to be embarrassed about. In fact, you should be proud." The beetle lifted his young head cautiously.
"Why?"
"Because," continued Ginger, "you are the light of the world. God put his light in you so that you can shine in the darkness and show everyone how beautiful his light is. Not for you to hide it under a leaf where no one can see it. So be proud of your light and don't take any notice of those silly bugs that get a kick out of teasing little ones like you. Now, look back at the sky. What do you see?"
"Well, mostly I can see my brother glowing in the dark."
"That's right," agreed Ginger. "Pretty special, isn't he? All by himself, he is lighting up the darkness, driving it away. Now, imagine if there were two of you. And you know, if you go out there and display your light for all to see, I think you'll see something pretty special happen, too."
"Okay, I'll do it. I'm not ashamed anymore," said the firefly. He opened his shell, popped out his wings, and soared boldly into the night sky.
Suddenly, other leaves tipped over, and six more fireflies that had been hiding flew into the darkness, following their brother. Ginger stood up and stretched as only a cat can while enjoying the beautiful light show being performed by seven little fireflies. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, again, I just thank you so much for just allowing us to have this time today to come together into fellowship. I also thank you, Lord, for your word.
I thank you that we are able to study it and understand it. And Lord, I thank you for this privilege of being able to share your word with these ladies. I pray today that something in this talk, Lord, that you will use just to prick their hearts, Father, and to help them to grow in godliness. And I just lift up this time to you in your precious Son's name. Amen. So today we're going to see, too, how we can shine our light just like those little fireflies flying around in the dark. And our verse today is in Matthew chapter 5. And it is at the end of what is known as the Beatitudes, which is part of Jesus' wonderful Sermon on the Mount. But before we can look at Matthew 16, we really need to understand the context here of Matthew chapter 5 and who Christ is talking to and who he is commanding to let their light shine. So if you have your Bibles today, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And if you don't, that's okay too. Just listen as I read. I'm going to start with Matthew 5 verses 1 to 2. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them. We learn from Matthew 4:25, which is just a couple verses before, that large crowds were following Jesus. They came from Galilee, Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So this was not just a small crowd of people. People were following him where he went. We see that he went up on the mountain and he sat down. It was custom in those times for rabbis to sit as they taught. Wouldn't that be nice? We could all just sit down and we could all just learn from each other. Maybe even in church, Jay could just sit and join us all. But he sat and his disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and he began to teach them. Now, them refers to his disciples, but it also refers to the crowd that is following him. And we will see that at the end of the sermon in Matthew 7:28-29. It says, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Now, Jesus begins his teaching with the Beatitudes, which offers us a beautiful picture of the internal qualities of a true believer. These verses will show us how a person begins with their acknowledgement of their own sin and then finally becomes a child of God and then the results that then follow. So I am going to go through these Beatitudes. And I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version because I know that I don't want to spend. We could have a retreat on the Beatitudes and on letting our light shine. But today you're just going to get that short version. So I'm going to read Matthew 5, 3 to 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So our first attitude that we're going to look at is being poor in spirit in verse 3. To be poor in spirit is to recognize one's own sin and their spiritual poverty apart from Christ. It is to see oneself as we really are. We are lost and we are hopeless and we are helpless. Apart from Jesus Christ, every person is spiritually destitute, no matter what their education, no matter what their wealth, no matter what their social status, no matter what their accomplishments, or no matter even what their religious knowledge is, we are all destitute. The second is mourn in verse 4. And this is our attitude towards sin. We have a true sorrow for sin and eventually a hate for sin within ourselves. John MacArthur says, "The faithful child of God is constantly broken over her sinfulness, and the longer she lives, and the more mature she becomes in the Lord, the harder it is for her to be frivolous. She sees more of God's love and mercy, but she also sees more of her own and the world's sinfulness." The next, beatitude is gentle, or in some translations it says meek in verse 5.
This is the attitude that focuses on God's holiness and His worth, not ours. And because of God's holiness, then, we are humbled. We are humbled compared to Him. And we are teachable also. We don't defend ourselves when we're wrong. We admit our sinfulness because God calls us to be holy. Be holy, for I am holy. The next one is, we hunger and thirst for righteousness in verse 6. Here our attitude toward God and His Word are expressed. Our meekness allows us to turn towards God and His righteousness, and we desire it. We seek after it. In 1 Peter, we learn in chapter 2 that we long for the pure milk of the Word. Ladies, we desire that in our lives. The next one is merciful in verse 7. Because we have received God's ultimate mercy, we also have mercy. We have a forgiving spirit. We have a love for others, not just the body of Christ, but we have a love for everyone that we come in contact with. The next beatitude is pure in heart in verse 8. We keep our lives pure. Holiness is a desire. We want no substitute. We desire to live according to God's standards in His Word and not according to man's standards. The next one is peacemakers in verse 9. Christians bring peace. We are given God's peace. Christ says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." We have peace. So we are able to bring peace between maybe people that are at odds with each other. We bring peace between people and the Lord. You know, in the armor of God, we are told that we shod our feet with the gospel of peace. We are able to give the gospel of peace to others. And finally, we are persecuted. Those of us that have been studying 1 Peter, I know some of the ladies have finished, we know that we were called for this purpose. We were called for persecution. And we will. If we live righteous lives, we will suffer persecution in one way or another. Praise the Lord that here in the United States, we are still able to freely worship God in the way that we choose to worship Him. And we know in other countries, they're not so free in that way. So they are persecuted probably more than we are, but we know too that we also will be because we're called for it. So these qualities that I have just gone over with you, they are given to us by God. They are a gift, and we receive them when we realize that we are a sinner who is separated from God. And we realize that it is only through Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice on the cross, taking our punishment and the wrath of God, through His death, through His burial, and through His resurrection. Because apart from Christ, we can't have these. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Romans 10:9, and Kathy said this, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Once God has illuminated our heart to receive His free gift, we become a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." And then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." And now, ladies, we can walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." We can now live a life that represents who Christ is. And we can be a light that shines brightly in this dark world. As Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Amen. Praise God for that. So now, understanding who Christ is talking to, we can jump forward to Matthew 5:16, and Christ tells us that now that we have this, let your light shine before men. You have been given the most precious gift of salvation. So shine it, and shine it brightly. So for the believer, what does this look like? Jesus tells us also, so go back to Matthew 5:14-15, and it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So here, what is the primary means of light that he's showing us? It is to be seen. It is to guide us. A city set on a hill, both in the daytime and at night, cannot be hidden. It is exposed for all to see. By day, its houses and buildings stand out on the landscape, and at night, the many lights shining out its windows are seen by all. And we see this around us in Weaverville. We are surrounded by these beautiful mountains, and people have been privileged to be able to build their homes up on these mountains. And so we see that. We see them up in the daytime. We see those beautiful houses. And at night, we see when their lights are shining out their windows. And so like that city on a hill, we also need to pour out that love that has been put into us and now lives within us. It needs to radiate. It needs to shine brightly to all. And not just those within the church, but those within our community, to strangers and to friends. Everywhere we go, we are not to be hidden, but we are to be exposed. Next, Jesus gives us the example of the lamp in a house. You know, in our houses today, I have like 20 lamps in my house. And it's so wonderful, praise God for electricity, that we can just flip on the light and we are able to see in the dark. I know when we first moved into our house here in Weaverville, you know, you get used to knowing the pathways, right? But when we first moved in, I couldn't see where I was going. I'd bump into my couch. I had no idea in the night. So thank you, Lord, for electricity. But back in those days, they did not have electricity. They had these sauce boats kind of that they would fill with oil and they would put a wick in it. Well, did they have matches? No. So once they got that oil lit, they couldn't rekindle it easily. So once they lit it, it would stay lit in their house. And so the main thing here though is that these lamps were for them to see also. Their houses were very dark. They probably only had one window, something I read in one of the commentaries. And so these lamps would stay lit, and they would light their way. But there's a difference in these two examples. I don't know if you've seen it. The city on a hill is for all to see. But the lamps in our house are for who? For our families, right? For those that are closest to us to see. Both are extremely important. Because whether we're out in the community or whether we're in our homes, our lights need to be shining. I don't know about you, but how many times when you get home, you kind of let your guard down, and it's those in our houses that really see our true light, don't they? And so remember, if we have, especially children in our homes that we're trying to be an example to, our light needs to shine for them. If we have unsaved husbands or unsaved family members, our light needs to be shining just as brightly within our homes as when we're out and about walking around town or in Reading or wherever we are. A favorite verse in the Underwood home is Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. I tell my kids, do all things without arguing and complaining. Do all things without arguing and complaining. And I could say that to myself over and over too. But Christ tells us why we are not to argue and complain. It says in 15, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So I tell my kids, and I remind myself too, that our attitudes or our reactions should light up for Jesus because we know and love Him. Otherwise, if there's no difference in our life and we're just blending in with the world, then you know what? No one's going to see that Christ lives within us. No one's going to see a difference. And that could put reproach on the name of Christ as well. It's kind of like when you visit a jewelry store, right? And you go in and you say, okay, show me your best beautiful diamonds. And so the jeweler just pulls them out of the case and he puts it on the glass. Are the diamonds going to pop out? No. He's going to pull out a black velvet background if he's smart, or she, and he's going to lay those diamonds beautifully against that black background so that the brilliancy of those diamonds pop out. And that's how we want to be. We want to pop out in this dark world. Remember, we live in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, and we need to appear as lights. So the difference of Christ in our lives should radiate, and it should point others to Jesus. That is the purpose of it, to point others to Him. What is so different about you? Hopefully it's Christ in your life. I have a quote here that says, "It is a great deal better to live a holy life than to talk about it. We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody that it does. The light will be its own witness. Lighthouses don't ring bells and fire cannons to call attention to themselves. They just shine." Charles Spurgeon, a well-known theologian, once said, "The sermons most needed today are sermons in shoes." So that should be us when we're out and about. We need to be that light of Christ. So the point here is that a secret Christian is about as bizarre as turning on your light in your home and then covering it. So lights are to illuminate. They're not to be hidden. They are to be exposed, not to be covered. Don't keep the wonderful truth that Christ rescued you and adopted you as a child a secret, or hide it so well that you blend right into this world. So how? How are we to shine our light? Well, 5:16 continues and says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works." Guess what the Greek word is for shine? I told this to Sheree yesterday. It's lampo. That's probably where we get our English word lamp, right? But lampo is a verb. It's not a noun. We are not just to be a lamp that sits on a table. We are to be the verb lampo that actively, continually shines brightly. And then what is going to shine? Our good works. The beauty that the Lord has begun in us and will be faithful to complete. I love that verse in Philippians 1:6. Good works can be defined as the right deeds through which Christians glorify God and fulfill His commandments, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are evidence of salvation in a believer's life. They are a testimony that puts the truth of God on display for others to see. In Scripture, we see these two words translated either good works or good deeds. In the NASB version alone, it is used over 50 times in the New Testament. So I'm going to give you just a sample of Scripture here that shows the relation between a Christian and good works. In 1 Timothy 5:10, we see that widows without family are to be taken care of by the church if she has a reputation of good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. 1 Timothy 6:18 is instructions to those who minister. It says, "Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." Titus 2:7 of young men says, "In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine dignified." In Titus 2:14, to all of us who are in Christ, Paul tells Titus, "Christ, who gave Himself up for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds," passionate for good deeds is what that means. Good works are Christ's intention for us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us that we are to have an abundance for every good work. Colossians 1:10 says, "Be fruitful in every good work." Hebrews 13:21 says, "Be complete in every good work." That's your sample. And I'm sure I could go on and on about good works. But remember, though, as a believer, our good works cannot be apart from Christ. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So who are our good works for? Are they just for believers? Galatians 6:10 says, "So then while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Good deeds, the godly actions that we do, are for both Christians and non-Christians, to the glory of God. So how are you going to let your light shine? How are you going to let them shine through your good works? Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 25:32-40, and this is a humbling verse. "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" So how are some ways we can apply this verse to our own lives? You know what? This church loves to fellowship, and especially with yummy food, as we've seen today. I mean, what a treat! Thank you to all the hands that prepared it. But you know what? We can do this, too, with our neighbors. We can do this with saved and unsaved friends. Summer is here, ladies. What is it, 90 degrees today? Have a barbecue and invite your neighbors over. Invite your saved and unsaved friends over. And you know what? Supply all their needs. Don't ask them to bring anything, but supply it all for them. We have a wonderful opportunity to serve food in our community. Here at church, we have a pantry that, and I know other churches do too, where people that come off the street that are in need of food, that we give them a bag of food. We also do a soup kitchen with other churches in town that we do once a month on a Tuesday, and I know the other churches take the other weeks. What a great way to serve and to show the light of Christ at this soup kitchen. We have a hospital and a nursing home here. Go visit those who are ill and who may be bedridden, not just those who are in our body, but to all of them. I know I've had that opportunity when I lived in Burbank. I took some of the junior high girls to a nursing home. And you know what? You think that you're going to minister, but when you walk out of there, you have been ministered to. And it is such a blessing. 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." For me, I could also say, don't just love in word or tongue or in thought. I know for myself, I can't tell you how many times that a thought will cross my mind and I think, oh, I need to call so-and-so. Or, oh, I really need to write a card of encouragement right now. And you know what? I don't. The kind intention was there, but I didn't follow through. And why? I mean, I really have no excuse. The Holy Spirit laid it upon my heart to do that, and yet something else came up, the busyness of life, or my children asking for something to eat at the time, or something happened. And so I need to, when the Holy Spirit places it on my own heart, I need to stop what I'm doing and do it. And so all of you, keep me accountable. Ask me how I'm doing in this, because it is something that I need to excel in. A wonderful ministry just started up here again at First Baptist Church. It's called Secret Sisters. And it is a wonderful way to have a sister in Christ that you can practice loving in deed and truth with. And I know for me, I'm excited to be a part of it because it's going to help me with that pattern in my life to get back on track. But there are many other ways that our good deeds can shine for Christ on a daily basis. For believers, and especially for unbelievers, to show them Christ and to possibly even open the door so that we can share the gospel with them. Pray for these opportunities. And you know what? God will be faithful. He will be faithful to show them to you. And then you need to look for them. And they are all around us. They're in our homes. They're maybe at school, right? They could be at the post office. They could be at the hair salon. They could be at Tops Market. I mean, it could be as simple as preparing your family's favorite dessert. I know Sue was sharing with me earlier, Josh really wants some of that yummy chocolate cake. You know, so Sue could even just, you know, love her child and make him that special cake. It could be as simple as saying thank you to your teachers. Thank you for your faithfulness to teach me every day. What a blessing. You could bring a muffin and a coffee to a coworker with a smile, just because. You could open the door, help someone at the post office who may have a ton of packages, just with a smile on your face and say, praise God, I was allowed to help you. You could allow someone at Tops Market when you are in the biggest rush of your life and you have a basket that you need to get home, but they only have one or two items. Step aside and let them in front of you. These are all things, and even though it sounds really simple, but they're all things that when it's done with the right heart, that it will give glory to God. So ladies, I challenge you the next time that you see the opportunity, allow the Lord to work through you. Do something good for the glory of God. Seize that moment and let Christ's light shine through you. So what is the purpose, though? What is the purpose of our good deeds? Jesus tells us it is to glorify your Father who is in heaven. John MacArthur says, the purpose of letting our light shine and revealing our good works is not to bring attention or praise to ourselves, but to God. Our intent should be that in what we are, and in what we do, others may see God in order that they may glorify our Father in heaven and not us. Matthew 6, 1-4 says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be done in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And whatever we do, God sees it. He knows exactly where our heart is. He knows exactly what we're doing. Don't succumb to the temptation to tell others what you did or what you are doing or what you're going to do. Let God receive the glory, because that's why we're here. Our purpose in life is to give God glory and to enjoy Him forever. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. When someone says thank you, give the praise back to our Heavenly Father. I have a friend of mine. What a testimony she was. Single mom. And she had the opportunity maybe to take her kids out for an ice cream. And she wasn't able to do that very often. And her kids would say, thanks, Mom. Thanks for the ice cream. And she would always, without fail, say, don't thank me, thank Jesus. Because it is Him who provides for us. It is Him that gives us everything. So ladies, let your light shine in your homes, in Weaverville, in Reading, wherever you go. Again, you never know what good deed that you may do that God is going to use to point unbelievers back to Him and possibly even grant them the grace of repentance leading to the knowledge of truth, and give all the glory to God. So I hope today as we close that you are able to see that God commands believers to let their light shine. to let the light of Christ shine in the midst of this dark world. This is done by the fruit of your good deeds so that God will receive all the glory. And remember again, God can use anything. He can use anything that we do to open the door for the gospel, to possibly save people, all for the purpose of bringing him glory. And I wanted to read 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. So ladies, I challenge you, I exhort you, I encourage you, excel still more. Let's pray. Father, I do just, again, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and thank you for allowing me to study your word, and Lord, to share what I have learned with these ladies. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, that Lord, something today that they would have heard that you will use to draw them to you and give them the grace of repentance. Father, I pray also for the ladies that are here that do know you, that you, Lord, help them to excel still more and to shine their lights brightly for you, Lord Jesus, in order to be a godly example for you, as well as to possibly bring others to the knowledge of you. Thank you again just for your love, your mercy, your grace that is poured out upon us daily. To your name be the glory. Amen.